Get there, and the attendant says, "What can I do for you, sir?" "I want 3.71 liters, not one drop more. Go." "Sir, this measures in gallons." "I said liters, damn it." "Do the math."
"That is a gallon, isn't it?"
I don't know.
I pulled that number out of my ass. I have no idea.
Oh, man, I don't get it. It's like, it's about a gallon, I thought.
Almost a gallon, it is. Yeah, it's like 3.2 liters is a gallon. I just looked it up the other day for, I don't know, some stupid reason.
You have an exciting life.
It is, actually. I had to calculate the weight of conformal coat after it's applied to circuit boards. So we can then calculate the liquid volume of conformal coat we needed to buy for a certain number. So I had to take the weight in kilograms, convert it, then convert that to volume for liquid, and then calculate how much liquid we were going to need per board, which actually worked out to be 1.09 ounces.
Hmm.
So was that African or European conformal coat?
Who's peeing?
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night Curious. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Marty, and Michael, that virtual Uper guy. Tonight, Barry gets a loner recliner, Joel gets some goats, and Marty gets a hopper. All that and more on Late Night Curious! And now, digitally gathering to go horse shopping with Joel. Hey, Joel, look at this one. Oh, I think he likes you. Here's Joel, Barry, Marty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 211. You know what that means. Next show?
Yes, the next one is special.
Yes, it's a special show. From the Manhattan Cruise. What's that?
Is that what they have?
Yeah. From the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
And from Hillsborough County, just north of Keene, this here's Joel.
And from the Tug Hill Plateau in central New York, this is Barty.
And 10 seconds into the show, and Skype's already screwing up. All I need now is to sell the dropout. It's Michael, the virtual Uper and the family truckster.
Yes, and let's see. We should start right off with what everybody's drinking tonight.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
Michael, you're first.
Hey. Oh, okay. Well, I'm driving the family truckster right now, leading an EMS concert. Yes, EMS conference. And because of that, I am drinking coffee I made at 5 a.m. this morning in my thermos.
Yeah. Mm. Is it still warm?
No.
Joel!
It's not cold, but it's not warm.
Urine!
Oh! Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have a great night tonight,
boy. I thought you were out, actually, but...
No, that's what my podcasting beverage is generating. You're right. But we're having Captain Morgan's private stock with a splash of cola.
Ooh.
All right, and I'm having Bacardi rum with a splash of Coke Zero. Barty.
And I'm enjoying a fine Legacy IPA brewed just down the road in Utica, New York.
Ooh. Sounds good.
You know, you notice how IPAs, which used to be summer ales, are now drunk year-round?
Yeah. They're good. Yeah. And they're really not, you know, it's a nice lemony kind of hoppy taste.
It's the hop.
A lot of people tend to be drunk year-round.
All right.
Today, ending in Y, let's get drunk.
All right. All right, let's get right into Days of Our Lives.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Michael, are you pumping diesel?
Yes.
Okay.
I can hear it whooshing.
Pump it, baby, pump it.
All right, that's so relaxing.
You slip into a coma with that.
Well, I guess I'm first.
Uh-huh.
Because I put myself first. I don't know why. I did it in time order. Well, as you all know, I have a recliner on order. And we got a call about 2 weeks ago that said it was supposed to be due the end of April, beginning of May. And 2 weeks ago, we got a call from them, and they said, "Well, you know, the material that you wanted to you picked out for the recliner, well, there's a delay on getting that. They're out of stock, and." And so
you can't find any cows?
They're special cows. So there's going to be a delay until June or July to receive the recliner.
Wow. So they got to grow up before they kill them and skin them.
Yeah, I guess this one's from birth or something.
There you go.
Yeah. But then they said, well, because of the delay, and it's not your fault... We're going to lend you a recliner.
A complimentary 5-gallon bucket.
Receipt from pay, please.
You can turn over upside down, and here's a complimentary cushion for the top of it.
No, actually, last Friday, they delivered the same style recliner that I ordered. It's, of course, it's a different material. Yes, I have a complimentary... loaner. And
nice. Is that the same loaner that they sent out to other people with delays, meaning it's been farted in before you?
No, it was brand new, believe it or not, because it still had the tags and everything on it. So I'm happy. I don't know what they're gonna do with it after I'm done, because it's definitely been farted on now.
So there you go, that's easy. You guys don't want this back. I farted in that, so I might as well just keep it, right?
Yeah, I might as well just keep it.
No. We take it in the back room and we put all new tags on it.
There you go.
A little, what's it called? The Frappe.
Febreze.
Huh?
Yeah,
put Febreze. Febreze.
Febreze it, a new tag, and it's just like brand new with rapid.
Oh, God. So, yeah, the problem is I'm going to get this one. I'm going to get this one all broken in and nice, and then they're going to take it from me.
Think about the poor next guy who's going to get that chair, and they're going to go, "What big bastard broke the springs on the left side of the chair?" Jeez.
Like, what the hell is this guy doing in this chair?
This looks like a NASCAR chair. It's making a perpetual left-hand turn.
But it is quite sturdy. It's very nice. The only thing is you have to kind of, you know... I had that other chair for so long, you know, I used to just jump into it, you know, do the things I have to do to get into the proper position. And, you know, it just came natural and it just automatic. Well, this chair operates a little different. So now I have to get used to a whole new way to get comfortable.
So you basically have to reprogram your ass cheeks to get used to the way the chair feels.
Yes, that's it. Exactly.
Exactly. You're gonna retrain the pressure points on your butt cheeks to go, now this is normal.
Yeah.
And this is normal.
Yeah. It's like, ooh, this feels different. hmm, but it is comfortable, but it's different comfortable. So that was happy. I was happy about that. That was happy? No. I was happy.
I was happy.
That. I was very
was happy. I'm happy. Exactly. I'm feeling glad.
So we'll go on to Joel.
Hi.
He's next.
Let's see. Well, we got an addition to the homestead, which is pancake and mango. My wife's.
Yeah, I was like.
I haven't even said what they are. They could be two horseshoe crabs. No, they're actually.
What's that? You have crabs?
Horseshoe crabs. No, they're my wife's Sonnen goats. Well, Sonnen is the breed from Sweden, so they're cold weather goats.
Ah.
And they are brother and sister, and they're really, really cool. I've never been around goats ever in my life, and the first rule of thumb for all those young men who are staring, you know, at getting married to their beautiful to be bride someday. Here's a little tip. A happy wife is a happy life. And if she comes up and says, I want goats, damn it, we're getting goats. And she said, I'm getting goats. And I said, I don't know anything about goats. But lo and behold, you learn. She's very, very knowledgeable on it. And they are great. They are the coolest. Pets, livestock. I consider them pets. So pancake and mango. And so I built a pen for my wife. My son and I built the pen and put a roof on it and did all this stuff. And they are actually awesome, awesome people. I enjoy hanging out in their pen with them immensely. They're super fun, super intelligent.
Now, are they going to stay in the pen all the time, or do you let them out?
We bring them out. No, we're going to let them out. It's you basically sort of make, if you will, for lack of a better choice of words, I know I'm using the wrong one, a corral, where you fence in a large area around where the pen is that has their house in it, you know, to sleep in and for harsher weather and so forth. So there's and you fence a large area around that where they can go out, they can run, they can play, which they do quite frequently. As a matter of fact, they're very playful and, graze and, they're great for keeping predators out of the yard, and at the same time, they pretty much eat every weed you can think of. So if you got weeds and this and that, or overgrown grass or what have you, they'll take care of that for you, and you don't have to cut it down at all. They'll just eat it, and then they turn it into fertilizer for you for the garden, which is very kind of them. So that being said, and then my wife went and picked up, because I really like hanging out with the goats. And I didn't know. They're so well behaved. Yeah, I know. They have harnesses.
Joel drinking beer with the goats. Joel.
Well, yeah.
Don't be giving the goats any beer.
She bought me a harness to walk the goats. Each goat has a harness, and you can put a leash on them like a dog and take them for a walk.
Ah, that's neat. So
I'll be walking down the dirt road drinking a beer, walking my goat.
You know what? After this show, I'm going to have to go to my wife and say, hey, you know Joel has goats?
And she'll go, you can't talk to him.
She said that.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. It was funny. You saw when after the last show where you talked about having chickens, I went over and I started talking about getting chickens again. She goes, again with the chickens? I said, yeah. She goes, what the hell brought this up? I says, well, I was talking to Joel and he on the show tonight, and he was talking how he and his wife got chickens. She goes, you can't talk to Joel anymore.
I'm a bad influence, but I get that a lot.
We're proud of you, Joel.
Yeah, I was trying to talk her and let me get chickens for a long time.
They're actually really cool, you know. Learning the different breeds and so on and so. I mean, it's pretty complex. People really show chickens, if you believe it. I didn't know that they actually raise and shows like dog and cats for chickens.
And they fight them too.
Well, in some countries they do fight them. Here that's frowned upon.
We have two kinds of chickens in Copper Harbor.
What's that?
Most of my neighbors have chickens, and we have two types. They're either ones that lay eggs and ones for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
If they stop laying eggs, they become dinner.
They become stew. They say all chickens look the same when they're in a stew pot. If they quit laying eggs, that's where they end up.
I don't see Debbie doing that.
No, that's my job.
I was going to say, I don't see Debbie doing that.
Nope.
She's got names for all of them.
Oh, yeah. These are all the girls are egg layers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and trust me, God almighty, do we have eggs? I mean, open up the fridge and, you know, we have this egg tote that you put the eggs in that sit in the fridge. You know, and when you're looking, staring down the barrel of three dozen eggs, you go, what am I going to have for breakfast? Well, I don't know. How about eggs?
Like a six-egg omelet.
Honestly, every morning, between three and six eggs.
So how did she come up with the names Pancake and Mango?
That actually were the goat's names from the previous owner.
Ah, okay.
So rather than change them, because they answer to their names, their goats are really smart.
Yeah.
And like as smart, if not smarter, than a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can call, you know, come here, heel. You know, I can't say heel or sit. I haven't trained the goat to do that yet. Get me another beer. But it's, but honestly, they're really smart, extremely affectionate and friendly. It's like a dog, but they're a goat now. Pancake's the male, and. Mm-hmm. He's dehorned, so he does not have his horns.
Okay.
So you don't, and Mango, she's a she, and therefore no horns.
Ah. Wow. Now the horns don't grow back?
Nope. It's like sort of like if you think of it as a fingernail. If you remove the root from the nail, the nail won't grow back.
Okay.
And it just heals over, the skin heals over, and it's just like a little dimple where they would have where they were originally budded.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. You don't want to be budded by a...
With the horns? No, because that will hurt. Their heads are hard.
Yeah, they're also good if you have a single horse. They say get a goat because they'll keep a horse company, too.
Yes, I don't know more. We've had four. I don't want any more horses, thank you.
Really? Oh, come on.
Yes.
Come on. I'm sure Debbie all wants set, some horses. Set.
Oh, don't you put that idea out there. That's the one.
Let me log into Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, I think your goats need some horses.
Oh, yeah. Sure. That chair, I guarantee you that chair will sit crooked if that happens. Underneath your wire cutter is cutting every other spring. Why does my new chair lean so much? Yeah. I don't know.
And then he'll just walk up to you and go, Blucher!
Oh, you man. Oh, jeez. All right, well, I'm next. I just got to tell you, I just came off a week of Guy's Week here at the house. My lovely bride went to visit a college friend who just moved down to Florida in Clearwater Beach area. She bought a house right on the bay there. She's got a dock and everything. And and it's an empty house right now with just minimal furniture. So she went down and they went shopping all week to find things to... equip the house, fill the house with stuff. So she had
sounds
a good
like a
time.
Torture. That sounds like a punishment.
Yeah,
that's you have to shop nonstop. Fuck that. All my furniture's coming via Amazon.
Well, yeah, I feel the same way, but apparently they don't. They love doing that.
Oh,
so.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
But so it was just me, Charlie, and Sammy all week long. Had a good time, hung out, we drank beer.
Did you rip it up?
Huh?
Yep. Play cards.
Smoke cigars.
Watched Triple X's late into the evening. And yeah, it was fun. I actually did take a couple hours here and there. Pretty much I left work early almost every day just because, well, Sammy just turned 11, and having a dog in the house by himself at that age for 11 hours, 11, 12 hours, is not a good idea. So, yeah, I cut out a couple hours early and each day got home just to take care of those guys. So
yeah, yeah.
But
it's a good excuse.
Yeah,
and plus you don't want any. That's an awesome excuse to cut out of work. Oh, I got to make sure Sammy doesn't leave early Christmas gifts all over the carpet. So
yeah,
I'm gonna be banging it out of here. Well, what time? I'm thinking 12.
You're early.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and then so I picked up Anne Marie on Wednesday at the airport, and we came home, and she came in the house. She goes, "Oh my God!" And I said, "What?" She goes, "It's actually clean." And I said, "Yeah, why wouldn't it be?" She goes, "I expected it to be a total wreck." I said, "Come on. Well, first of all, I only use 3 rooms out of the entire house." Yeah.
So, all right.
So, okay. You know, and they were pretty easy to keep clean, you know. You know, yep. Bedroom.
The girl you hired was worth it.
Bedroom.
I was going to say, yeah, the cleaning person that you hired just before she came home only cost you $150.
Yeah, you know, come on. I know how to run a vacuum cleaner. Well, okay, it took me 15 minutes how to figure out how to start it.
Where's the pull cord? where do I put the gas in?
So truly in our house, bedroom, kitchen, family room. That's it. That's all, you know. Every once in a while I'll walk through the library, living room and dining room just to see that it's still there, you know. But, once a week, at least once a week, up here in the QRM studios. So, someday I'll turn this into a man cave. Mm-hmm. Kind of is already, but it's a junky man cave.
That's what makes it a man cave.
Yeah.
The filth scares off the ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I'd like to see a 60-inch TV with, you know, home mm-hmm. theater and, you mm-hmm. know, another recliner up here sitting next to the...
And then this podcast will become a once a month type thing.
No, but I could podcast from my easy chair. That would be fun. Okay, so that was this week for me, and and I got new Zennies. Zennies are the glass prescription glasses. I was I have prescription sunglasses that I keep in the car, and I really use them only when I'm driving, and they're very old. They're probably pushing 10 years old. Well, I noticed that coating, I guess, whatever, started to come off on it on the bottom of the lenses, and I said, "Okay."
Affecting the vision.
It wasn't affecting the vision. It's just that the dark coating was starting to crackle.
All right. So I didn't know if the prescription had changed and you found all of a sudden that you were taking paint samples on guardrails driving home with your sunglasses. Maybe it's time to get these new prescription sunglasses. Why? I don't know. I think I left a fender somewhere 2 towns ago.
They served their use very well, and it's probably time to retire them. So I said, now where can I get sunglasses? Zemi! So I went online, and all my stuff from my normal everyday glasses were still there, so I didn't have to re-measure anything. It was all there, so I just went and picked out new frames. And what I got was, instead of just sunglasses, I got glasses that have magnetic clip-on polarized sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
That go on top of it. So I thought, well, that's probably a good idea, because if something happens to my normal everyday glasses, I could use them as backups then. Just in case, and they're always out in the car. So I said, that makes sense. And then, you know, and the clip-ons are really cool. They got two little magnets up on the top of the bridge. And so you put these things on, and there's two magnets on the clip-ons, and they just clip on. You really can't tell that they're clip-ons. And
aside from just like Steve Martin in The Jerk, when your eyes start going cross-eyed.
No. They're just, I mean.
I'm just kidding. You remember the movie?
Well, actually,
yeah, that was great.
Invented glasses without the arms?
Yeah. The OptiGrabber.
Yes.
The OptiGrab, I think it was called. The OptiGrab. So you could grab them in the center and pull them off.
In the middle.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, and then your eyes focused on it and you ended up cross-eyed.
Yeah. So, but anyway, actually, I was wearing them when I went into the Verizon store where I met you yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I thought you were pretty blinged up.
Blinged up, but hey, they're nice. And, $60.
They were nice looking glasses.
$60.
Real nice looking glasses. Are you serious?
Barry, the blinged up Barry.
$60, and I got an extra clip on in case something happens to one of the clip ons. So I have two clip ons and the glasses, and of course now I didn't get progressive lenses in them because they're just for driving, so they're just you know, nearsighted lenses. Lenses for seeing far. Lenses for seeing far. So but I can use them in a pinch. Hell, half the time at work I'm not even, I pull my glasses down on my nose a bit and I look over the glasses to read computer screens and stuff, so
right.
Because after a while, sometimes it gets, when you got progressives, you're sitting there going, nodding your head up and down, trying to find the right focal point to use things. But I'm happy with them. $60, man.
Yeah, beat that.
Yeah, not at all. So I think the frames were $16, and then the lenses were the rest of the price. So
wow.
Well, I've got astigmatisms too, so. They're usually, those lenses are a little bit more expensive, and you can't get them right away, you know. But that was my couple of weeks. We'll go to Joel next.
Yeah. So, let's see here. Basically, as we were driving, I was driving home from work, and that's how I got the opportunity to see the new Zennies. I got a Voxer message from Barry, and I said, dude, you need to really, who did we lose? Oh, Michael. It's, you really need to avoid Route 3 at all costs. There's like, they have shut the highway down for a major, major set of collisions and an incident. And I had caught wind of that while listening to one of the talk radio shows that I listened to while sitting at my desk. And, Howie Carr. I was listening to Howie Carr. Barry, Barty might remember Howie Carr. I don't know if you listened to it or not when you were living over this way. But
I never listened to the radio. I haven't listened to the radio since 2005 when I discovered podcasting.
Gotcha. I enjoy listening to Howie.
Yeah, Howie's cool. Anne Marie listens to Howie Carr every day. And so when I'm home, he's usually on. You know.
Yep.
But I definitely remember the Route 3 situation. Saw that many, many times.
Oh, well, this was wicked.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It just kind of falls into broken news, but it was a situation where there was a criminal had carjacked somebody, obviously carjacked their car in Nashua, New Hampshire, got involved, obviously, in a high-speed car chase. The police were in pursuit, somehow ended up, went south and then started going north on the northbound side of Route 3 back towards New Hampshire. Had come down into Massachusetts and was headed back up to New Hampshire when he wrecked that stolen car, caused a collision, carjacked another car that had pulled over, a Good Samaritan had pulled over and seen, oh, this guy's crashed, stabbed the woman in the leg, stole her car, drove off, crashed that car, which started a nine-car 9 or 10 car pileup where everybody had to go seek medical treatment. And
Holy crap.
So that being said, the police had all Route 3 locked down. Hopefully, the last I had heard, there were no fatalities, which is a really good thing. And at the same time, too, I very much so hope that the criminal is a vegetable. And therefore, because for causing so many people so much pain. We're talking an honest to God dirtbag here who deserves as much anguish as he can possibly be dealt in his direction, as far as I'm concerned. But that's me, and I'm a little nutty. So
I kind of agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking on all the law enforcement, the innocent bystanders, putting everyone's lives at jeopardy just because you're a fucking loser. You know, I hope you are trapped in a body that does not move with a perfectly cognizant mind, and you realize you cannot move any longer, and yet you still can't die. I hope you suffer, you piece of shit. That's from me to you.
Yeah.
But that said, I'm like, whoa, I better take the long way home to avoid, sitting in traffic for, they were saying, up to 3.5 to 4 hours.
They had it closed. Northbound, which is a major commuting route from Massachusetts up to New Hampshire, was closed. They kind of closed down. It's the only major highway up through there. So, I mean, you can go back roads, but,
which, you're going way out of your way. And that's what I ended up doing. So I shot down another highway and went the long way. So normal commute is distance 61 miles, and this way that I took is 92.
Yeah.
But I was moving.
You take the route through down through Milford?
No. Actually, I avoided 3 altogether. I took 495 all the way down to Groton, Massachusetts, and then jump on 119. It's a road 119, and take Groton all the way down through town of Groton, Townsend, Pepperell, and then... Then you take a right and you head up towards Monadnock, up into New Hampshire that way, up 124.
Okay. I used to come through that route and head towards Milford and catch 130 back into Nashua.
Ah, gotcha. Yep,
you could do that too, yeah. Hmm.
So I was trying to go the way that I didn't think everybody else was going to try and divert to. Mm-hmm. That's why I opted for 119. A lot longer because it's a lot further out of the way, but I don't have to go to Nashua. I can go. I don't have to go anywhere near it.
It's a pretty ride, though.
Come here home.
Yeah. Well, that's where I was living at the time.
Yeah,
right.
It was a pretty ride, though, through there. Because I used to, when I worked down at Pete. Oh, I better not say that. When I worked down in Hudson, was another alternate route I could take, and it goes through a bunch of little towns and everything. But they're very New England pretty towns.
Very pretty New England little towns. New England pretty little towns, little New England pretty towns. Yeah, whatever. So,
towns all in a row.
And so I get this Voxer call from Barry, and so we start chatting back and forth. I said, oh, yeah, I'm headed home this way, blah, blah, blah. I said, wow, you're making really good time shooting up through New Ipswich and so on and so forth, and then through Sharon. And I said, yeah, I'm almost on the backside of Temple Mountain. He goes, wow, you're only a couple of miles ahead of me. I said, well, if that's the case, I think we started talking about food and dinner, and I thought Chinese food for dinner. And he said, oh, yeah, it sounds real good. And Anne Marie was making pasta. And I said, well, hell, I'm going to go to the Yen Yen. Why don't you swing on by and we'll get ourselves a Mai Tai or a scorpion bowl or some exotic drink while we wait for my order for Chinese food to take home. And that's what we did. And it was cool because I even got a picture of it.
Yeah, the picture was cool. I like that. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So while we got there, the bartender, she says, hey, what can I get from you? Get you guys? We're sitting at a little bar across the room from the actual bar. And I said, a Pearl Harbor, please. And the most blank look came across her face. Very nice Chinese lady. She went, I got to look that up. And so I start going on my iPhone to look up what's in a Pearl Harbor, the amounts. And she said, what do you want, sir? Because, of course, when we walked in the bar, the entire bar, tiny, tiny little bar room, everybody stopped and looks at the doorway and went, holy shit, the tall guys are here. Between Barry and me walking through the door.
Do you hear the first thing that one of them said was, I don't know whether you heard it or not, they look at us, they go, oh my God, duck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that was as per usual, when Barry and I hang out and go places, we always get the looks, and you go, holy shit, look at the size of these guys. Or something along the lines of, is a circus in town? You know, it's one of those, is there a basketball team around here? But they got a fat guy. Well, yeah, it would be me.
yeah, two fat guys.
So literally when we sat and gave her the order, and Barry's like, make it two. So we had Pearl Harbors in a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, there's something about being in an Asian restaurant and ordering Pearl Harbors.
Well, one's Japanese, one's Chinese.
Okay, I know.
I know, you know. I'm just doing it for
text you guys. I'm just so glad I didn't get bombed. I don't have it in the thing yet.
And the next time we go and meet up at the Union, we'll have kamikaze. Another favorite drink of mine.
Yeah. Well, it was fun. It was Friday afternoon, guys, the end of the week.
You guys look like they're having a good time in those pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just hanging out, not fit. Good.
Michael's back. No,
there he is.
And the Verizon customer says, hey. 3 squid, it used to be 2.
Why did I just sound like one of the old men from the Muppets?
Oh,
what am I laughing about? I don't know. sorry. Yeah, it's going to be touch and go from here on. Oh, well. I never know whether I got coverage or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had Pearl Harbors at the Yen Yen.
And good.
Which is real good. And I'm like, wow, you know, because I brought home Chinese food. Oh, yeah, that's right. We ordered up chicken fingers. They were good.
They were. They were actually very good.
I had no chicken fingers.
Well,
they're small.
To cash the cup.
They're small.
It's hard to get them to put their fingers in the tempura batter.
You know, chicken feet are a big delicacy in China. Most of the chicken processing places in the U.S. make more money by selling chicken feet to China than they do actually selling their chicken product here in the U.S.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Wow. And then again,
makes you happy not to be Chinese, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, then again,
that, too, amongst another a few reasons.
You could tell me that turtle testicles are a delicacy, but I ain't eating that either.
Sorry. Rocky Mountain oysters. There you go.
I got to add the rest of the special effects on this board. I haven't done that yet. I've been lazy. I was going to put the more you know in there. I don't have it on the board, man.
That would have been good.
I know.
So now we're talking about, you know, bringing home takeaway for dinner. And as it happened, my wife and I were out today and picking up stuff. She had me errands we had to pick up going to the Blue Seal down in Milford. And on our way back, we're shooting up 202 through Bennington and looked, and there's a smoke shack, if you will, it's a trailer actually, but where they smoke, it's called the Taste of Texas Barbecue Pit. It's really laid out nice, and with the picnic tables outside, and it's like a sort of like, you know, a three-sided what do you call it, shed almost, but they have the whole smoker, and then they have the lady is from Houston, Texas, who runs it, who owns it, and does fantastic smoked ribs and brisket, and that's all she sells. And the place is open from Thursday to Sunday. That's it.
Wow.
In the season, and for the winters here in New Hampshire, she goes back home to Houston.
Ah.
And then when she's done, she basically a snowbird. She comes up to our house here.
Huh.
And so we went to the Taste of Texas Barbecue Pit. And man, am I glad she's back from Houston and has that thing open, because that's good. Makes your own sauce, makes your own dry rub, and you can smell her smoking the meats all like Monday through, you know, Wednesday. Hmm. I'm driving home from work, coming up 202, and I actually make a point to roll the windows down when I start approaching that area because it's good. And that's what we had for lunch. Wow. And it's probably what I'll have tomorrow.
Hey, you know, I just got to tell you, Joel, you're Cyloning every once in a while. And it's only you. Nobody else is. So I think you're probably moving too fast.
That's possible. TDS did something to our internet because it is even faster than it has been.
Really?
It's all those Adopt-A-Horse pages that Dev's looking at right now.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Thank you for that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Good one, Michael. That's pretty much what Chris does in the evening. She'll sit down and she'll start going through the horse pages.
Well, it's sort of like the way I look at Craigslisted trucks. Whenever you guys start talking about, I don't know, techno geeky stuff that I don't understand.
Michael, you ought to have her send a few over to Debbie.
Or not. Yeah, we can try that.
Man, you got all that acreage.
Sounds like Debbie would really like to see a few links her way.
All that acreage. Doesn't your neighbor have a horse, too? Could even have friends.
Oh, here we go.
You could start breeding horses and have horses everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Open up a little riding farm, you know? Stable, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, you can start riding them up and down the dirt road, and you can be the guy that people bitch about leaving road apples everywhere.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but it'd be me leaving the road apples, not the horses. Walking up and down the dirt road, leaving road apples. Yeah, so that's, don't give her any ideas, please. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on. So
yes, moving on, Joel. It's you again.
Yes, it's me. So,
again.
So no, I was just loving today's weather. It was, I mean, the pellet stove, it's on now, but it's off all during the day. Yeah. Don't need it.
No.
Not one bit. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous. Plus, you know, I'm over the moon about how nice it is here.
Mm-hmm.
The weather. So,
I forgot to add this on here, but I'm going to add to your story here, though. With the nice weather, guess what came out early?
Oh, the black fly.
Oh, God, I was out there today.
Yep.
And they were buzzing all around me, and I'm like, come on, it's too early.
I found another
reason.
We haven't
gotten there yet. It's still kind of cool. We can't leave windows open very long right now because it's in the upper 60s right now.
Well, that's what it is here.
That's what it is here.
Let me open the windows.
The 60s are feeling kind of chilly around here.
I went to do the dump run this morning, and it was 50 degrees. Right, and I said, wow, I'm in my T-shirt. 50 degrees, T-shirt. And that's it, just the T-shirt.
Barry was leaving road apples. His dump run.
I was going to do my dump run. That's also when I checked my email and realized that we only had single ply. No, moving on.
Sammy and I had to go on the dump run each Saturday.
Yep. That's what, actually, I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, you can? We ours is closed on Sunday. We have to do it on Saturday.
I just go to the shop and throw it in the dumpster at the shop.
Oh!
It's nice when you have family who own their own business and have a dumpster out there. It's like, what do you do with your trash? Take it to the shop and throw it in the dumpster.
Nice. But yeah, it was 50 degrees, and I said, don't need a jacket now, man. It's 50. It was nice.
No, T-shirt. All T-shirt weather today. Yeah, it was freaking awesome. I mean, well, Kenny and I on the property here, we went to town cleaning up a bunch of stuff. We got, well, for those who, as if they hadn't done the math already, we have 1, 2, 3, 6 trailers, 2 car trailers. What else was there? We ended up taking down 2 trees. taken down. There was an old doghouse that was in one part of the property that weighed about, I don't know, 7 metric fucking tons. So we got that. So we managed to get that up and on a trailer and took it down to the burn pile and at the back of the up on a Quonset hut. And yeah, so it was this great t-shirt weather the whole time. And there were times when I can honestly say, I'm glad I smoked, because the smoke does keep the black flies away. Although still two of the little bastards bit me.
Yeah, yeah. I was tempted to pull a cigar out today because it was getting bad.
So. Yeah, it was getting a little thick from time to time.
Yep. Oh, but, well, 'tis the season.
Yeah, it is the season now. Tomorrow's even going to be nice. It's going to be 70 degrees here.
Yeah, yeah.
So I may end up cutting a hole in the side of the house and taking the window out and putting a door in.
Oh, there you go. Wow.
Living room.
Cool.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, the nice weather's here. There's no excuse not to do it.
Yeah.
So it's I got the door, so it's like, yeah, you know what? I'm thinking I'm going to take this window out and put a door in.
Yeah. Tomorrow I might get the grill ready, pull the cover off, chase all the mice out that vacationed in there in the wintertime. Hopefully no mice. But do the cleanup and everything and do the initial burn, you know, where you crank it all the way up and let it.
No, I was grilling in January. I never shut my grill down.
Yeah, I know you do.
Friggin' snow and icicles falling off the house. What are you doing? Cooking steak.
Yeah, I'm a wimp.
They get too much snow for that here. We get, you know, a few feet of it, and
yeah,
you know, there's no way you can really. Deal with that.
Your grill's covered.
I do. Yeah. I just have to dig down to it.
You clean off your car. You clean off your car. You clean off your truck. You snow blow a path and you start grilling. And that's what I did. Snow blowed a path right to the grill.
Hmm.
Cleaned it off. And I was grilling food. One of the things that you miss a ton of. I mean, you take it for granted in the grilling season, like barbecue chicken. Or bratwurst cooked on the barbecue, or a nice grill, you know, barbecued steak in February, because those flavors, because most people aren't grilling. And I'm thinking, why not? It's just weather. Who the fuck cares? Put on a coat. I'll stand there with mittens and mucklucks and sit there and grill in the middle of the cold. For the longest time, I'm like, oh, it's cold outside. So. If you drink enough beer, you don't feel it when you're grilling.
Oh, that's me. It's cold out.
Yeah. Well, we used to grill all the time, and when we were up in Alaska, and it'd be like -10 outside and stuff. We didn't care.
And that was the summer.
But it's just too hard here when you have to shovel the hell just to get the to the grill. It's like, yeah, okay, I can't deal with that.
Yeah, I'm this year, especially because we barely got any snow. It just never dawned on me to actually pop the cover and go out there and grill. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like I said, I'm not showing off. I just like grilling. I mean, it's a little tough in the wintertime to grill soup because it keeps falling through the grates. But I'll figure it out.
Oh, jeez. All right, should we go to the next group? It's. It used to, a while ago when it first came out, it was breaking news, but now it's just broken news. And now, from the QRM newsroom, here's broken news with your anchors, thickly settled. Joel, what's your name?
Hugh Jardon.
All right, in the first story here. Oh, breaking news broken news. Breaking news on broken news. It actually just came over Twitter a couple of minutes ago. Wait a minute, I'm using the wrong mouse on the wrong computer. there was a 7.8 magnitude quake in Ecuador, and there are now tsunami warnings out for Ecuador. So, There's been a number of earthquakes in the past week or so. There was a 7.1, I think, in the southern part of Japan. What was that, Friday, I think? And there was a couple...
Yeah, because we were watching that on the TV when we were in the bar.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It happened while we were in the bar. Yes. And so, yeah, the world's a shaking these days. So, watch out, San Francisco. So, okay. So, our first story for Broken News was since the last show, Merle Haggard passed away. If you're a country western fan, an old style country western fan, he passed away at the age of 79, and he died on his 79th birthday. So that's. That's a little interesting. So.
Yeah, it is. You die on the 79 years to the day that you were born.
Yeah. So, so we'll go to what was your name again?
Hugh Jardon.
Hugh, you got the next story.
That just pulled that out of my. I don't know where. Anyway.
We know where. So, trust me. We know where.
The actually, this is not broken news. This is news coming up, actually, in 2 days, which is the Boston Marathon is this coming Monday.
Yes.
And which I thought was, a great thing, and wanted to just put basically a shout out, if you will. That the a little info, there's 5,000 law enforcement and military personnel that are going to be there to protect racers and spectators for the actual marathon. And just want to say thank you very much in advance to them. Be safe. Good luck to all the racers, especially the veteran, the hand cycle racers, which is there's a bit where the Boston Marathon Association was pulling number tags and restricting how many veterans could compete in the hand cycle because they're saying they don't consider it part of the marathon.
What?
We're really giving them up. Yep. They were pulling number tags from the hand cyclists, from the Veterans Administration hand cyclists, the racers there, saying that, well, really, we'll let you do it, but we really don't consider it part of the marathon because you're not running. Well, they're veterans who can't run, but they're athletes nonetheless. Yes. They are participating. Why are you giving them a hard time? I think that's a pretty lousy thing to do.
It is.
From the BAA.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so quite honestly, I just wanted to throw that out there, let them know that, hey, I heard this when I listened to a couple of the local radio stations when I'm driving into work. And I had heard this story. They had a representative, a veteran, who's a representative for the hand cyclists who were competing there. And, the likelihood that he's one of the seven people that listen to this podcast is pretty darn slim, but just letting him know it hit a chord. I hear and thinking about you guys. And again, thank you to all the law enforcement and military there for protecting everybody, making sure it's a safe and a good time for the marathon overall.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, and by the way, amateur radio people play a big part of the Boston Marathon. They line the route, and they've got stations, and they actually follow the runners and everything, and they provide a lot of the communications for the Boston Marathon. There's a big group. They do that every year. The big group that does it gets together and does that stuff. So. Shout out to all the amateur radio guys out there, too, that help out with the marathon.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, Hugh, you got the next story, too.
Yeah.
Hugh with the weather.
Yeah, the past weather.
The past weather.
Which was over a week ago, which was the second official day of spring. Could it really be the second unofficial day? Inquiring minds want to know.
Meteorologic day of spring.
Yeah, thank you.
The actual first day of spring is March 20th, but they call it meteorological first day of spring is April 1st. I don't know why they do that, but that's weird, right?
Yeah. So, but that being said, on that second day of spring, Yep, it snowed, and it snowed a half a freaking foot.
Yes, it did. But I still didn't snowblow because it was because it was going to melt the next day.
And pretty much it did. It was melted off by next day's morning commute. But I will say that that was a long-ass 60-mile drive in 6 inches of snow getting to work that day.
Because it was snowing during commute time.
Of course. Always during the morning commute.
Yes.
So you try and get ahead of it and say, I'm going to leave extra early before the numbskulls who don't know actually how to drive in snow or the ones who feel that, well, it's just 6 inches of snow. I can still do 90.
Yeah.
Well, you really don't want to there, Chief, because you got no damn traction when it comes to stopping or turning.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a long one. I think it took me, I'm not whining, I'm just saying as a matter of point of fact, it was 2¾ hours to get to work.
Well, it took me 2 hours to get to work, and it's normally an hour commute for me. So, yeah, and I can imagine what Temple Mountain was like when you crossed over it.
Because, believe it or not, I took 31.
Ah, you're smart. Always, Temple Mountain was a bear.
Yes, I had heard, and I said to myself, whenever it's snowing bad, I'll shoot down 31 down the side of it. I don't know what the hell that mountain is that I'm coming off of, but it ain't Temple.
No, I don't know.
Going
what
down between the valleys of between awful one and then down the valley side of Temple Mountain, so I don't have to deal with the altitude, and which means the roads are just a mess up there.
Yeah, it's in between Little Monadnock and what's the other mountain where the I can't think of it. The one in Bennington and I can't think of the name of the mountain. Oh well, I'll think of it. There's a ski place up there.
Pat's Peak.
Well, no, not Pat's Peak.
Crotchet Mountain.
Yeah, Crotchet Mountain. I'm sorry. A name always.
Yes.
Get out of there, Barry.
Yeah, really? You just couldn't come up with a better name than Crotch? Really?
Crotchet. Yeah.
Mound of Dirt Mountain or anything. Just Crotchet. Yeah. That's what. All right, whatever.
Yeah. All part of the Wall Pack Range.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So,
what a nice range it is.
Yes. And now over to sports with Barty Witcher. What's your news name?
I don't have a news name.
Well, come on.
We went through that last episode. Yeah.
Huge Ardon.
How about Rudorb Cram? If you don't like it, you can cram it.
Go ahead, Barty.
Yeah, I got a jerk alert to report.
Okay.
Man, with the New York State primary coming up, man, this whole state is crawling with sleazeball candidates. If they're everywhere. They're in all our news. They're in all our commercials. They're like everywhere. I even left work early one day because Donald Trump was going to be showing up in the same area where I work, over out at the Griffiths Airport. It's like, man, I'm getting out of here before that crowd shows up. Man, it's Michael's like back. These assholes are all over the place. Of course, it's not as bad as in the beginning when they all arrived in New Hampshire and there were like 300 Republican candidates and 15 Democratic candidates. You know, at least it's down to like a manageable five or six jerks.
Sorry, I thought you were talking sports. I didn't even read it. I forgot. You're also our political reporter.
Always bringing his A game to the news counter.
Well, there is some sports coming up in entertainment last
week. Oh, that's where I read it. That's okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That girls' field hockey on ice.
What?
You slammed the door shut. I said, slam it again, Michael.
It's still not close. Give her another heave ho.
No, it's locked now. I'm standing in the driveway at home.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I'm on Skynet now.
Ah, okay. So you shouldn't.
Every time I see you say that, does anybody else besides me actually hear the Terminator music playing? In the
back? It's supposed to.
So I hear it every time I'm on Skynet.
You know, I should put that. I should put up a because it. You know, I can have a splash page on this mesh network. So if anybody connects to it, it should, you know, bring up a video splash page of the original Terminator.
Skynet, yeah. I don't know how the hell it goes, but I can hear it in my head.
Wow. Okay, let's move on to the next segment. And this is Geek Corner. So we'll start off
Craigslist now.
Oh. it was announced, although I haven't seen it yet, that FaceTube has added live video, kind of like Periscope, Twitter's Periscope, except for they're now going to allow it. Supposedly they're rolling it out, but it's I guess it's a slow roll because I have yet to see it. Has anybody seen the live video casting in FaceTube? Anybody go on FaceTube anymore?
I go on FaceTube, but I try to minimize how much of it I actually play with.
Mm.
I usually just try to keep up with people I've known from the past, and yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Michael, have you noticed it yet? Michael?
I guess that's a no.
No, I was muting. Oh, hang on, guys.
I don't blame you.
I gotta step outside a second. Hang on.
Okay. All right, Michael's muted.
Speaking of Periscope, though, there were a couple that were arrested because they were using Periscope to they were filming. Yeah, exactly. Well, the girl was recording her boyfriend sexually abusing a teenage girl.
Oh, isn't that nice?
And they used the video to identify the culprits involved.
Yeah, that's
so. How stupid is that?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say that. There you go. There you go. That is the definition of stupid. Do something illegal, irrational, and record yourself doing it on video.
And then wonder how they catch
you. Well, actually, thank God they did. Thank God they videoed. That's all I can say, because now they got caught and they're going to pay the price.
And the price is not steep enough.
Yeah.
And they can't deny it.
No. Uh-oh. Michael?
What?
Are you getting snow?
Yes.
Are you making a snow cone?
No, I'm trying to... I walked right into the house with muddy shoes.
God.
I'm cleaning my shoes off.
Okay.
Oh, I don't think Chris has realized it yet. She will.
So it never happened. Sees the footprints?
It never happened.
It was somebody else.
Quick, send Mark outside for something real quick.
You gotta wet your feet before you come in the house. What?
Oh, I always get the thing where you can't take your shoes off as soon as you come in the house. It's like,
I'm not
in fucking Japan.
Well, I normally do take my shoes off right when I walk in the house, and I didn't think about it this time.
I don't.
It's nice to have a mudroom. If you have a mudroom to be able to do that, when people, you ever notice people can get kind of snotty about that? Take your shoes off! Should I wipe my ass too? I mean, really, you know, I'm still standing at the doorway.
Wipe your ass before you sit on my new chair.
House has carpet. You know that's not a really cool high-tech thing anymore, right? Everybody's had carpet in their house since, well, I don't know, the 30s.
Yeah.
No, carpet on our floor. Well, la-dee fucking da, I won't be going in your house then if I gotta take my shoes off.
Oh, man. All right, well, Barty, you got the next story.
Yes. We had some fun this weekend. We had an 8 to 12 appointment to have some new dish equipment installed, and we got email the day before that the installer would be here around 10. Mm-hmm. And then at 9 o'clock, we got email that he would be here at 11. And mm-hmm. then we got an email saying that he'll be here at 10:30. Then we got an email that said he'll be here at 12:30. The guy actually showed up at 1 o'clock.
Dear Mr. Barty, fuck it. I ain't going to make it today.
Yeah, and there was like no email announcement that he was going to be late. It was just like, where the hell are you? And the guy was only coming from like 40 miles away, so I don't know what the problem was. But I asked him if he had trouble finding the house. He goes, no, I know. I knew right where it was. The GPS showed it was like right here.
Oh, so yeah, you just suck at time management then, dear Mr. Installer.
That's what I felt like telling him. You know what I mean? The guy was like a really sharp dude because he got kind of confused because the satellite box runs through a a six-speaker surround sound system.
Yeah.
And he looked at that and he says, "Oh, that's not going to have to. That's not going to be able to work with this box. I got to put it right to the TV." I says, "If the last box could go through the stereo, why can't the new box?"
HDMI, right? It's got to have an HDMI connection.
Exactly. You know, and I was like, "Well, why don't you just take the same cables from the old box, put them in the same places on the new box, and we'll see if it works." He goes, "Oh, I ain't never seen that." You know, so of course it worked. It fucking all right. worked. Just
I'm
like
sorry.
The old box did.
I'm sorry, Barty, but. That's what it sounds
well,
like.
You know
you
what's
got.
So funny?
Somebody from Hooterville.
Darryl, and I was.
His
I
name was so Daryl.
I was so tempted to ask him if he had a brother named Daryl.
How's your brother Larry doing? Yeah, honest, Larry, Daryl, and Daryl. Honest to God, you know.
Exactly. This guy struck me as being totally one of those guys. You know, it was one of the two Daryls. You know, because he was like, "Oh, I don't know if I can do that." That was the way he said it. He said, I don't think it's going to work that way." I said, "Well, the old box did." He goes, "I don't know how." You know, and he says he's got one of these Hopper 3s in his house.
Yeah.
But he doesn't put it through no fancy stereo thing.
Oh, fancy damn stereo. Look, so basically you had a Pulitzer Prize winner trying to hook up the goddamn stuff like that.
I was so tempted to ask him, "What do you have for a TV? A CRT? Or do you have? You actually have a flat screen?"
We done upgraded from that black and white one. Now it's a big wooden box with color pictures.
Well, he was really weird because we had one of those Samsung 4K curved TVs.
Yeah.
He looked at that and he goes, "Wow, that sucker's curved. Did it come that way?" No, it got too hot here one day and it's curved.
It got hot and it warped.
Oh, yeah, my God.
It blew me away when he said, "Did it come that way?" I was like, "Yeah, of course it did." Like, so, you know, it just kind of went downhill from there. At least the Hopper 3 works really well. It does recognize the TV as a 4K. Not that I can find any 4K content anywhere on Dish Network.
No.
it's 4K ready. Because I went through the settings and I was looking, and it does identify the TV as being a 4K capable one. Hmm. And, of course, after he left, I had to go through and change the settings so that the remote would control the volume on the amplifier, on the receiver, rather than on just the box, because he had no idea how to do that. "Oh, you can't do that." And I said, yeah, okay, fine. Go away and I'll fix it later. You know, but...
well spent. Yeah.
The Hopper 3 is kind of neat because it allegedly lets you record 16 stations at once.
Wow.
I say allegedly because the old system said you could record, what was it, Barry, 6 or something, but you really only could do 3?
Yeah. Well, you have 3 tuners, but somehow... they had something with one of the tunes, because they have that prime time, anytime thing, which would record all your major networks simultaneously. So, and I think they only used one tuner to do that. I don't know how, but they did.
Yeah, well, we opted out of that. Mm. We don't watch that much prime time crap, you know, or record that much.
Well, you have the option. I don't think you... pay for that. It's just available, and you can turn it on, and then it
fills
automatically
up your hard drive
records
with all kinds of crap you won't watch.
Yeah. Well.
Well, that's the thing that got them in a lawsuit with the networks, because they took them to court trying to get them to stop that, because
no, that was the actual Hopper, the part where they skip channels, or
yeah,
not skip channels. I mean skip commercials.
And yeah, but it does it only if you record the primetime thing, right?
No.
It'll automatically play
any,
back without
anything anything you record, it will skip. It will some of them, not many of them do it now. Some of them, it used to be you had to wait 24 hours and then it would automatically do the skip commercial thing. But then the lawsuits happened and everything, and then CBS was the first one, and they were like, well, you can do that after 7 days. So they had to make that. Now I think Fox is that way also, and other channels won't let you skip them at all.
So. I don't think we found anything that you can that will automatically skip commercials, because we still have to manually fast forward past them.
Yeah, if you watch the show too quick,
I don't know.
It depends. They all used to do it after the lawsuits. Now it depends on what channel you're watching.
There's a lot of stuff my wife will record and just like watch weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll marathon them because she doesn't like to be watching something and then waiting for the next episode. Mm-hmm. She'll wait till she has a few episodes lined up and watch like 4 to 6 of them at a time. And she still has to fast forward through the commercials.
Huh. That's weird. Because ours, whenever you start the show up, the little kangaroo jumps up. It appears in the right corner. And bottom corner, and it asks you if you want to skip the commercials or play it normally. And
I don't think I've ever seen that on ours.
Huh, that's weird.
We don't have any jumping kangaroos.
We both look at the same satellites.
Exactly.
So, yeah. You might have to read up on that. You might not have
to. Bottom line, the Hopper 3 seems to be a fun device. You can record, they say 16, but at least it'll let us record about 5 or 6 at a time, which I think is about as much as my wife can manage.
Yeah.
Three at a time kind of pissed her off because she wanted to do like 4 or 5. And I was like, damn, girl, what are you recording? But she's got like all kinds of crap that she wants to see spread across cable, very little on the actual network channels. And she's happy that she can record that much.
Yeah.
And of course, we got a new Joey's were included with the deal. Mm-hmm. And you know, a weird thing with he had to replace a lot of our cable because some of it was put together with barrel connectors and things.
Mm-hmm.
The new system can't handle barrel connectors.
Really?
It has to be a straight run of cable all the way. So the Hopper going to my TV is halfway between. I have a coffee table sitting in front of my picture window, and my Lazy Boy is just to the left of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got two tower stands where my Bose speakers are sitting on, and I've got the PS4 on one side and the Xbox One on the other, and all that. It's a big entertainment system I have with a surround sound stereo. I've got the 7 speakers and a woofer hooked up to it. Now my Joey has to sit on the floor between that table and the speaker stand because the HDMI cable that it's connected to won't reach the table, and its cable TV cable won't reach to the shelf. I used to have it on the bottom shelf below the speaker, but I had to have a barrel connector to extend the cable that far.
Yeah.
And barrel connectors don't work anymore. So I'm thinking of testing it out anyway because it doesn't work. And I'm thinking to myself, well, Daryl, who told you that? You know, the same guy that said you couldn't run it through a stereo system?
I would try it. I mean, you could see potentially a little signal degradation.
Well, you know, I could see where maybe I can't maybe extend 4K through it. Because maybe they want to pump so much information that you know.
And the other thing is, you're pushing a digital signal through there. You know, so that sounds funky. Michael, you there?
Michael,
we'll wait for him to realize we're talking to him and to unmute.
No, I have to wake the phone up so that I can unmute it.
Okay,
I'm in the house and Mark's on a video game. Chris is doing dishes and she's listening to a podcast and it's really loud in here. And that's not their problem; that's mine. So I'm hiding in a quiet room here.
Oh, okay.
Or as quiet as I can make it.
The guy says he can't use a barrel connector. That sounds kind of funky. I can't see it being that sensitive.
A barrel connector in which line, though?
It's an ancillary line running from the Joey. Actually, it's not even. It's going to the Joey, but it's not even coming directly from the. Yeah, I guess indirectly, it's coming from the DVR.
Yeah.
The 4K DVR.
Yeah, it runs off
down
the DVR.
Into a jumper connector, and then from there, it's going to the Joey. And he's telling me that I cannot put a barrel connector to give an extra 4 feet of cable, or it doesn't even take that much.
Michael,
it's just RF cable, right?
Michael, I have it. Yeah, it's 75-ohm RF cable.
Yeah, no, you can do that. Yeah. You get might a little bit of degradation, but not much. You can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, would it be a problem with like a 4K signal?
Probably not. I don't
know. As long as the coax is going to make more of a difference than a barrel connector.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, but he was like all wiped out. He had to replace all this cable, and he spent 2 hours doing it.
But think about it, Barty. He's the guy that told you couldn't hook it up to your home theater system. Yeah. Hooterville. You live near Hooterville, don't you?
This guy had to hook up 12 wires. He ran out of fingers.
Yeah. So, Barty, I would try it out. If you want to put it back, yeah, try it out.
Especially since the TV it's going to isn't 4K. It's a high-def TV, you know? And it's not like I really watch this box much. Mostly what I do is watch hockey on it.
Yeah, there you go.
If I can't see hockey, I'll be pissed.
Should be plenty of bandwidth to handle hockey.
Hey, be nice.
I knew it was coming.
It's in my blood, man. It's in my blood.
Girls of field hockey on ice.
You slay me. You slay me.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
Hey, Barry, didn't you get a new mix board or something you want to fucking talk about? Okay. Yeah.
Well, yes, this is the first podcast where I am actually, as you know, computers have all upgraded, and the only kind of audio input you can put in them now, if you've got newer line computers, is USB. They no longer have analog inputs, and and of course, being a podcaster for 10 years now, I have a nice mixer board here, which it's a Behringer or Behringer. Bellringer.
It's a bell ringer.
And I have the Eurorack a UB 1222 FX Pro, and it's 12 inputs, and it's nice for the studio and everything, but it's got analog output, and so I had to put it into a small box to convert it from analog to digital so I could feed it into USB. I decided finally to go out and get a new Behringer. Let me get the number here. Oh, I wrote it down here, didn't I? I'm bad with the model numbers.
It's in the show notes, Barry.
Yeah, I know. That's where I'm looking for it. I scrolled past it. I've got the...
You're looking at hockey scores, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was looking. I've got the Behringer Q.
Medium Q36 explosive space modulator.
Yeah, Q802 USB 8 input 2 main bus mixer, so it is. It's got USB out. It goes right into the board, and it's small enough that I can take it on trips. And I can plug two microphones, maybe three microphones with the phono plug if I've got a phono plug adapter, or a quarter inch adapter. Because I've got 8 inputs, and it seems to be working nice. I've got my microphone on this. It's even got FX Send, so I can put it out to my compressor and expander and gate. And I also have the iPad, which is the soundboard, put into it, and it seems to be working good now. I'm still tweaking audio on it, but I'm thinking it's starting to sound pretty good here. So that was my news. I got that, and so the big board sitting here. Oh, and if I have to use the big board, well, I can plug it into the little board and use it.
<yeah. laughs> Plug the big board and the little board.
So
a little teeny tiny baby board.
Yeah, so This is nice, and so far I'm pleased with it, and we'll probably take it to the Marshall McLuhan Roundtable this year.
When is that anyway?
Bring that along. They haven't announced it yet.
No, they were late. Working it out in the last. Oops.
Well, I found out when last year's was, in what I've been listening to. They just announced that and the date, so I'm ready to go to last year's. Anyway,
really, you got the Wayback Machine set up?
Oh, that's where I am in the Marshall McLuhan roundtable.
Oh!
All right, let's move on to the next one. We're skipping over the Bob. You're safe this week because nobody has anything. So. We're gonna go right to Bottom Gear.
Hello, and welcome to another late night QR edition of Bottom Gear. I'm your host, Joel. And I got a shitload to tell you.
Yeah, it's Joel. Barry.
Yeah. So that all said, where to begin? Let's start off with this. So for all 7 listeners out there, they all know that I live way, way, way deep in the backwoods of the Monadnock region and dirt road on a dirt road on a dirt road. Wah. And that. Those dirt roads tend to beat the living shit up out of anything that you're driving. Mm-hmm. Well, my beautiful bride was driving home from work one day. It sounds like a story, and it is. Made it all the way up the side of the mountain. Pulls into our dirt and stone driveway. Puts her foot on the brake pedal of Daisy. And?
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, please. I don't have it on the board yet.
We've got the coverage. And whammo, the brake pedal goes to the floor.
Oh.
And as she was pulling in, she heard a whack, 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 whack. Probably picked up a limb, a tree limb of some kind, maybe there. It was on the road. Must have broken a brake line. And so, phew. Luckily, it was right in front of the cabin in the woods, so no harm, no foul. So phew. Daisy is down for the count until I figure out where the hell the brake line is broken, and then from there I may throw it on the trailer and yank it over to the shop. Mm-hmm. So, which leads me to the next thing. I says, "Well, sweetheart, no problem. I'm driving Rambo."
What are you? Worst nightmare.
So you should drive Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Love that. So she just, well, okay, that's got 9 weight. Power positionable, position changing seats. So we get it all set up because my beautiful bride is a little bit shorter than I am at 6'4, 6'5 with boots on. So
just a little.
Pull the seat way, way, way forward.
She's about the size of my wife, isn't she?
5'2.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
if you want to see something funny, it's when
the four of us are together.
The four of us together, and you watch two honking big guys get beat by two little women.
Yeah. they certainly know how to keep us in check.
Yeah.
So, yes, exactly. So she's driving Goldfinger, and I'm like, okay, honey, enjoy, it drives great, everything's working fine, blah, 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 blah. And the next day I come home, and lo and behold, what do I see? Well, Goldfinger down by the goat pen, and she's hauling hay out of it. Bales of hay. Now, I'm not nitpicky about the super-duper cleanliness of the car, but I try and stay on top of it.
as is due to the fact I'm in the car usually 3.5 hours a day. So you don't want it to be a rolling pig pen. And I see the hay bales coming out from my back seats. And I went, there's fucking straw all over the back seat of my car, all over the floor, all over. I'm like, okay. She needed to get hay. Makes sense. And I thought, no harm, no foul. It's fine. It all vacuums out. And then later on, I said, well, I'm not even going to be able to get to fixing the brake line on Daisy until probably I'm going to haul to the shop, or I'll pinch off the brake line and drive it to the shop and then put it up on the rack and replace all the brake lines until probably next Saturday. So I said, you know, you keep just driving Goldfinger. And she's like, yeah, but I don't like this car. I'll keep driving it for now, but I don't like this car. And I'm like, well, why not? I mean, it's a pretty good car. She goes, well, it needs new suspension. She says, I still don't like the way it's set up in the back. It needs more lift. And I went, but it's not designed to haul freaking 3 bales, 5 bales of hay. Plus, I got a shitload of tools in the trunk. And she's like, well, yeah, she's it does need suspension work. And it does. I don't reach the pedals real good in it. And, I mean, it drives nice and everything. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, but, and Daisy's getting kind of old. She's getting a little long in the tooth. Our son, who's turning 17, wants to learn auto mechanics. Mm-hmm. And we thought it's the perfect gift to give to a 17-year-old who's 6'5". A little teeny tiny Dodge Neon that needs a boatload of little TLC, yeah, mechanical work. Said, hey, here's where you're going to get your practice to keep your little shitty car running. And we thought it is a perfect gift because it's not fast. It sips gas. It's dirt cheap to insure. And he'll be working on it pretty much regularly. So he gets plenty of practice. So I said, well, what do you want to do? She says, well, I don't want to keep driving Goldfinger. I'm like, well, okay, that's good because I'm kind of partial to Goldfinger. I have plans for Goldfinger to Mad Max it. She said, nope, I want a Tundra. Just like that. I went, excuse me? She goes, I want to tell you in a Tundra, 4x4, crew cab. And I went, so I take it you haven't put much thought into this. She goes, she just looks at me like, I said, she says, I just want a really good running tire. I said, you know, it's not going to get the same kind of gas mileage Daisy does. She goes, don't care.
It'll haul a lot of hay.
And I said, okay, so the hunt for Tundra.
Why a Tundra over a Ford or
she likes a Dodge? She likes the Tundra. She had the opportunity to drive Tundras. Okay. A Tundra. I had a Tundra for a while.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes, I did. And she's like, yep, I like the Tundra. I said, what about a Tacoma, which is smaller? And she's like, nope, I want a Tundra, which is fine by me because I fit in it. Tacoma's pretty much you'll only fit 2 adults in.
Yeah.
And if it's the 4-door, it's a tight fit for 4 adults in there. Tundra, different story. And it's got the suicide doors on the back and the bench seat. So that said, I said, okay, you want a Tundra. Now, for all you other listeners, a happy wife is a happy life. So we're going to find a Tundra.
Well, you know, a Tundra has a bigger payload capacity, so you can carry enough hay for horses.
Oh Jesus.
That's true. Yeah. I never thought about that. Yeah.
She needs a Tundra.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's got enough power to pull a horse trailer, too.
Oh, that's
even
that's
better.
Yeah. She's already got it planned.
You beat me to it, Barry.
V8 power, 4-wheel drive.
I think the Toyota commercials I've seen for the Tundra, they say, oh, I can pull the boat and the horse trailer and
man, freaking task.
That was good, Barty. Good. Thank you, Barty.
Yes, Barty. Thank you, Michael, for pointing out that you can really care for horses well with a Tundra.
Glad to be of service.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to get her Volkswagen thing. There you go. Hold in that.
Oh, God.
Here's your Volkswagen Karmann Ghia, two-seater little four-seater. That's what I was looking at on Craigslist while you guys were talking in Geek Corner about shit that I don't really care about. So looking at Tundras now rather than diesel trucks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, man. Well, you got the next story too, or do you?
Speaking of Dodges.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned before, I'm driving Rambo.
What are you? The worst nightmare.
So all week long, filled up for gas. I mean, gas is still pretty darn cheap. I'm still, I think the cheapest I found it was $1.79 a gallon.
Holy crap!
Really?
It's going up.
2.30 to 2.40 around here.
$1.79 a gallon is as cheap as I found it throughout the week, yeah. And it did creep up to 2.02.
Yeah, it's dropping down a little bit now again, but yeah, yep. It got up to 2.02. That's what I saw.
And so now the nice thing with Rambo, it's got the 5.9 liter 360 V8 Magnum engine in it, is if you can keep it under $2,000, I mean, I'll go above it if I have to. But if you keep them under two grand, it's really actually not bad on gas. Being a two wheel drive pickup, crew cab two wheel drive, it's not bad on gas at all, especially on the highway. Get above $2,000, at least starts getting a little thirsty. You got power out the ass, but it's a little thirsty. And I must have, for the first time ever, I got gas at a couple of different gas stations I normally don't go to, because I let it run down lower than I usually do. I got a half a tank. In the wintertime, a half tank rule. Mm-hmm. You don't let it get a half tank. And why did the monitor, there it is. So I got, I'll shoot $15 in it here or $20 there. And I must have got some bad gas, because I'm driving him to work, and it was bucking and hissing and friggin' hiccuping all over the place. And I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And I mean, idling like shit. And I'm thinking, but I'm not getting a check engine light. It's just running like shit, hiccuping and kind of laggy. And I'm thinking, son of a bitch. So, and I was down to about a quarter tank of fuel. So I thought, all right, that's it. I'm swinging into known good places that have good gas. And I always go to the Cumbies is the Cumberland Farms. Mm-hmm. In Milford, swing in there, and yeah, I got some unique looks when people saw me open up the diamond plate toolbox in the bed and pull out a 1-quart container of acetone, pop the top on that, and glug, 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 about 5 or 6 ounces of acetone.
Wow.
Right down into the fuel filler pipe, and then topped them off with another 15 gallons of gas on top. Purrs like a kitten.
Yeah.
Cleaned up the ejectors. And I had one of the guys that I work with, I told him that. He goes, dude, you put acetone in your gas? I said, yeah, I do. I said, I used to do it every tank. And I got much better fuel economy, but your engine will run fantastic.
What is acetone?
Acetone, like paint thinner for cleaning up paint brushes and cleaning paint off of surfaces. Yeah. Acetone, you buy it in the hardware store, Home Depot. Or Lowe's or wherever you shop.
We used to use acetone in shop class.
Opening
when we
did tomorrow plastic. And here through July.
Yep. Yep. I use that all the time.
Sunday, another T-Rats home stand. Appleton, I went ahead,
put five and a half, 6 ounces acetone in the gas, topped them off with regular gas. It raises the combustibility of the gasoline. The detergents added to gasolines nowadays lower the combustion temperature and rate. To a point, and Barry and I have talked about this before in the shows in the past, and it lowers the flash point. So you basically need more fuel to get the same flash or boom in each cylinder.
Yeah.
And you're subsequently using more fuel. By adding acetone, it raises that flash point of the fuel back up to what it originally is before they started adding the detergents and the PTFE into the gas. Mm-hmm. And it works awesome.
It was a common subject in the old radio QRM days.
Yes.
Yep. So, I mean, and it's funny because we talked about it back then, and it's like, I still do it to this day. Yep. Here we are, 15 years later, I still throw acetone in there, and it purrs like a kitten. Yeah. Would I do this to my 2-stroke lawn boy? Probably not. You will fry the engine, but on a regular 4-stroke combustion engine, no sweat, no problem.
Yeah.
So that was my Rambo fix. Basically, people are
throw it in there, and she goes.
Cool. Very good.
Yep.
All right. Oh, I guess it's my turn? Mine's
sure
simple.
It is.
Okay. Well, today I decided to summarize the JD. We've gotten a lot of use out of this song today.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it was time. It was time. I don't think we'll be seeing much more snow. So the snowblower came off, the cab came off, and the chains came off, and the deck went on. Now, it was funny because when I was taking the snowblower off, there's always this one thing that always bothers me. You know, everything comes off pretty good, except for there's this one actuator arm that kind of allows you to lift and lower the snowblower, and that has to come off, and it's got this round clip on the back, you know, one of those ones where you got to kind of pull it off and feed half of it through the hole to get it off. Well, that faces...
You mean like a cotter pin?
Well, it's not a cotter pin. It's a circular thing. It's like almost like, you know, a key ring type thing where you got to pull it off to add keys onto it, you know.
Oh, right, around. Right.
Yeah. Well,
I get you.
It's something like that that goes on the back, and it faces into the engine. So you're kind of working on this blind. At least I was for the couple of years. Well, I got had this for 3 years now. It was always, it took me forever, and I'd cuss and everything else while trying to take this thing off. Well, that's because in the past, I've been, you know, I've been looking at this thing. I'm laying on the ground, okay? And I'm trying to get to it, and you can't see it. And it, you know, it looks like what is part of the fender is over top of it, so there's minimum movement. You know, you got a big hand like mine, it's hard to get it in there. And, yeah. Well, let's just say, not too long ago, my lovely bride bought me one of those, stools, you know, the garage stools that's on wheels. And, yeah. A Harbor Freight special. And I put that together, and man, I love that thing because, you know, I was working on the tractor, and instead of, you know, sitting on the floor or laying over on my side trying to get to these things, I was just plopping myself down on this thing, running around on the wheels and everything on the garage floor. It was great. Well, I looked at it, and I was low enough on this thing. I said, well, I'm just going to try to do it from here, and I'm under there, and I'm doing the normal thing. I said, ah, man, I can never get this thing, and I can't see what I'm doing. And then I realized something, because I was looking at it from above instead of from below like I had the other few years. I'm looking at it, and what I thought was part of the fender was not part of the fender. It was actually part of the hood. And I said, you got to be kidding. I lift the hood up, and there it is in full view.
You had a revelation.
I had one of those great revelations that took me like less than 2 minutes to pop this thing off. But, you know, so now I've pretty much got this thing down now. I can, with all the things I've learned over the past couple of years, I can switch these things out in about a half hour now. Nice. With that, taking the snowblower off and getting the deck underneath and getting that connected up and everything. So, so it's summarized. It's ready to cut grass. The grass is starting to get green here. It's still not ready to cut yet, but I do have to go out and dethatch. So I'm going to attach the dethatcher to the back of it. Maybe tomorrow. I might have to wait till next weekend and get out there and start doing that. Of course, my wife's been working on the garden, so she's got piles of stuff. So I connected up the cart on the back of it today and was running around picking up all the stuff and everything.
Yes, sir.
But it's time. It's summertime. Pretty much summertime, getting there. So that was my story. The JD is ready for summer work. So
woo!
With that, let's go into entertainment last month. Woo! Welcome to Entertainment Last Month, where we talk about entertainment that may be old to you, but it's new to us, so we talk about it like it's new. And first, Barty's going to start us off talking about girls field hockey on ice.
Fuck you, Larry. Oh, man. The hockey playoffs this year has had something occur that hasn't happened since the 1970 season. There are no Canadian teams in the NHL playoffs. Wow. They've all been none of them qualified to enter the playoffs.
However,
it's a pretty sad day.
Caveat here. There are maybe no Canadian teams, but it's pretty much all Canadians playing anyway.
Well, it's a pretty large percentage, you know, but we do have a lot of jerks from Europe and a bunch of assholes from America and stuff. But, a good proportion of the league is Canadian because, let's face it, hockey is Canada and vice versa, right. You know.
So,
I mean, everybody from Canadian descent is like totally into hockey because it's in your blood.
So they're in
it's in you.
Yeah, they're in the playoffs now.
The Canadian players are, but there are no Canadian teams.
I thought I flipped on and I saw some games, and I'm assuming these are playoff games that are on TV now.
Yes. Yes.
Because I think I saw the Pittsburgh Pirates going against. who are they playing? The Mets. They were playing the New York Mets, I think. The Pirates and the Mets and
those are the sissies.
I think the Pirates
run
won.
Away when the rain.
No,
starts.
The Mets won. The Mets won. That's right. They romped them.
Now you're talking about baseball. That's a sport of sissies.
No,
below tennis. You know,
I might have the names of the teams wrong. I'm not sure. Okay. I know the Eagles are in the playoffs this year. The Philadelphia Eagles or what are they?
The Eagles ain't done shit in years, and they're not likely to.
Well,
the Philadelphia Flyers are in the playoffs. Unfortunately, they're starting off against the Washington Capitals, and they're not doing that well.
Yeah.
They're losing 4-1 right now tonight as we speak, and they lost the first game, so they are digging the holes for themselves.
And they took the Bruins out of it when they won last week.
Well, the Bruins took themselves out because the Bruins had a guaranteed spot, and then they went into like a 5 or 6 game losing streak that kind of screwed them. So, you know, the Bruins kind of did it to themselves. They shot themselves in the foot. So it's totally their fault. It's totally their fault. Well, it kind of pisses me off because I really like the Bruins. I really wish they could have made the playoffs. Mm. And they were in there, you know? And then they just went on this large losing streak. Yeah. So, of course, I'm most pissed off that the Canadiens are not in there because, let's face it, the Montreal Canadiens are the NHL team. They should always be in the playoffs.
Oh, I mean, sorry, did I do that out loud?
Oh boy!
Well, Barry, not being of any Canadian descent, you wouldn't understand anyway.
I probably do have Canadians in my family somewhere.
They're probably the black sheep of the family that you don't talk about.
Now, the black sheep was my great grandfather. He got pushed, sent off to Virginia from England. So I'm sure some got pushed off to Canada too. I never understood the Bruins, right? Because isn't their like symbol got a ship wheel in it, or in their symbol? But yet they're the Bears.
That's because Boston is the hub of New England. Everything spans out in New England from Boston.
So the ship,
and if you even look at the highways are the same way.
Yeah, so the ship wheel and the fact that Bruins are Bears, how does that work? I mean, at least Philadelphia has a P that's got wings on it, you know? So they're the Flyers, you know?
like people in Philadelphia fly a lot, you know?
And the Rangers, it makes more sense if the Rangers had a bear on it because, at least you could tie it to Yogi Bear or something, The Rangers.
What does Yogi Bear have to do with New York City?
I don't know, but
Yogi Bear would never go to New York.
But they're the Rangers, and you had a Mr. Ranger in Yogi Bear, so, you know, that makes more sense.
Oh, a Mr. Ranger.
Instead of a, you know, freaking ship wheel with for bears. I don't know. Pirate bears? I don't know.
There you go, pirate bears.
How many penguins are in Pittsburgh?
Well, I don't know how many people are on the team.
Quite the rabbit hole we've gone down.
Yeah, Pittsburgh lost today, by the way. They lost 4-2 to the Rangers.
Yeah.
Tied the series one.
I saw the end of that. I saw the last 20 seconds.
Only because you're on the wrong channel. You were looking for something else.
I turned on the TV and it was on. I said, oh, okay, there's only 20 seconds left. And one thing about hockey is, you know, 20 seconds is pretty much 20 seconds. It's not like watching basketball where 20 seconds can go for 2 hours.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, hockey is a pretty fast sport.
Yeah.
That's probably why you don't follow it, because it's probably too fast for you.
Yes.
I mean, you probably like slow plotting things like football, where they play golf for like two. They like play for 2 minutes and then they stop for 10, 15 minutes and then they play for another 2 minutes. And then stop again for another 5 minutes, maybe 10.
I did flip over to CBS and watched golf while I was eating tonight.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, okay.
I watched the Masters last week. I'm sorry. I like watching the Masters. You know, this week they were playing in Hilton Head. And I said, oh, Hilton Head, I've been there. So I watched it. Yeah, so. Yeah, no, the only sport I really watch is football. And I can pretty much sit down and watch a football game anytime. Baseball, I don't mind going to baseball games. I don't like watching baseball on TV unless it's a playoff game.
I agree with you, because we used to go down to Angels games during some of the past operations we've had in the Middle East. And we could go in there with his military family and get in for free. Yeah. I mean, that's the only way I watch a baseball game is if I can not have to pay for it. It's on TV, it's boring as hell, because you watch these people just stand around before the pitcher finally throws the stupid ball and the guy catches it, and then we're back to standing around again. But we were watching baseball in California, where they had this amazing phenomena where people would bring beach balls into the stadium, blow them up, and then start bouncing them around the stadium. And for some reason, security hated that. So they would start running around. It'd be like the Keystone Cops. There'd be this army of security people trying to chase down these beach balls. And they'd be bouncing them all around. And when the security guys were almost up to catching it, they would drop it down to the level below or up to the level above. And then, of course, all the cops would go running up there. And the ball would bounce all the way around the stadium. It was so hilarious to watch that it didn't matter how boring the baseball game was. You could just simply watch these security guys chase this stupid beach ball around the stadium. Oh. I loved watching baseball in Anaheim just for that one reason. You know, and like my boys were like really into baseball, and they were going, oh, you see that? You see that? And they go, yeah, that guy almost got the ball, but he knocked it down one level. It was funny.
Wow. All right. Well, we got one more entertainment tonight. I just got it. It's mine. I got to say, I found a new podcast. I don't know how long it's been on, but it's actually Scientific American's 60 Second Science, which is cool because it's a little longer than 60 seconds. They sometimes go 2-3 minutes, but it's a short little blurb on some scientific topic or something that's in the news about science, and it's short. I put it in my A-list, which is my daily listen, and every day I get a little scientific thing, and then they do it quite well, and I recommend it. So check it out, Scientific American's 60 Second Science.
I like that. I think I'm going to look for that. Yeah. And there's another podcast I ran into, but I would be careful recommending it. It's the Classic Camera Revival. It's a Canadian podcast about older film cameras. It's a fantastic podcast if you're really interested in film.
Yeah.
But if you just kind of tune in with an average interest, you're liable to get infected with this disease they have about collecting classic cameras. because they talk about all these different film cameras and things you can do with film, and you get sucked in and you want to do it. So I started listening to it, and it happened to me. I went and got a roll of 35 millimeter film and threw it into one of my old Nikons, mm-hmm. and was, of course, the batteries in the Nikon were dead. So I grabbed my my Gossen Superpilot light meter, it's a handheld meter, and started using the exposures with that, which I've been doing with, which is kind of funny. I have a D7000 Nikon that I put old Nikon lenses on and use it in full manual mode and do the same thing. You know, I do the light readings with my handheld meter and set the digital camera that way. So I started, you know, of course, doing the same thing with my Nikon. And they did an episode about 6x6 centimeter film, mm-hmm. where they talk about Hasselblads and Bronicas and a lot of different old classic cameras that actually have sharper resolution than today's most modern digital cameras.
Really?
Because of the film format and the sharpness of the lenses and things like this. Mm-hmm. And I went out and bought a freaking Hasselblad camera from 1987 and started shooting up. I put a couple of rolls of film through it. I haven't had them processed yet, but I'm going to be sending them out probably Monday and see what comes from it. But, you know, it's the same process that I've been using. I use the handheld light meter to assess the exposure I want to use and then, you know, bracket up and down a couple of shots. And I've shot a color roll and a black and white Ilford roll. And I tell you, I'm really kind of hooked. It's really kind of retro geek to start playing with analog cameras again.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that there's a whole different thought process. With digital, you don't care about crap because you just simply shoot away because there's no cost. But with the film, you only have so many shots per roll, and you start really thinking about what you want in the picture and how you want to format that picture in your head. So it's really been kind of interesting.
John Meadows would be proud of you.
Well, I did credit John Meadows when I sent a post to that show saying I got into that show because I was listening to John Meadows' MPP podcast, and that show has just really exploded my interest in going back to film. It's just
so you're talking about classic camera revival.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
That show is just so amazing. Listening to little guys talk, they are just exploring some pretty fascinating things, and it just makes you start thinking more creatively. So I would be very wary before you start listening to that show, because it just might make you want to be more creative and try to expand yourself a bit. You're safer to stay away from it and stay with digital. That it's simpler, it's cheaper, and seriously. Because, with a digital camera, you can pop off 500 pictures and not give a crap because it's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah.
You know, but, man, I tell you.
You might have actually really gotten yourself into it because, you know, they make digital backs for a lot of the past. That's...
Yeah, I have to sell my car to afford it, though.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the way I said you really could have gotten into it.
Yeah, but there are scanning services that can take a 6x6 negative and give you an amazing image to work with. So, I tell you, you can digitize these negatives to an extent that you can make a large enough picture with no grain that you can't touch with even the most expensive digital stuff that's available today.
So, all right. Very cool.
So be wary of that podcast. Don't listen to it.
Unless you want to spend money.
Don't listen to Classic Camera Revival because they will infect you with a number of expensive diseases.
Yeah.
And you'll start developing your own film in your dark rooms. And
yeah.
Yeah. The house is going to stink of chemicals and it'll be great like it used to be. They'll just be absolutely fantastic. You'll start doing your own enlargement prints and
Yeah.
Can't tell. I never did that. No.
Yeah, I used to have my own darkroom back in the day, but I'm already looking at a part of the basement that could very easily be closed off and turned into a darkroom. It's even got a possibility of having running water. I just need to find a way of disposing the chemicals involved. Because, you know, you can't just dump it down the sewer like you used to. And, of course, I have a septic, so I definitely don't want to dump it down that.
All right. Well, we're getting long here, so I think we should bring this one to an end. And this show, I wanted to change the ending a little bit just because one of our podcasting buddies out there, Jason from Up in the Spring, his mother passed away this past week, and Jason was very close to her, of course, and it was a long illness, and Jason actually, I'm bad at putting things to words and everything, but I gotta say, Jason did a series of Up in the Sprains, and he always called them Debbie Downers, and I gotta say, they were not Debbie Downers, Jason. They were very good. They were excellent. It's what podcasting, at least the podcasting that we do, is all about. And our condolences go out to you and your family. And I got to say, you know, I want to just say thanks for sharing your journey with us. Because, you know, you had me. You had me on a couple of those. And so I just want to say, and we're not going to do the normal sign-off or anything. We're just going to go into a song that he played on one of his Up in the Spring shows. And I just wanted to play it again because I thought it was very fitting. So, Jason, this is for you in memory of your mom. And thanks. Thanks for sharing your journey with us.
You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm, kept me warm. You gave my life to me, set me free, set me free. Just to touch you once again.